Where do you see Abraxane fitting in as it relates to bevacizumab? And maybe I can ask you to just sort of backtrack a little bit and talk about where you're at right now in your non-protocol therapy as it relates to the use of bevacizumab.
I think the data from ECOG 4599 convinced me and many of us that obviously anti-angiogenic therapy is an important step forward. The issue with bevacizumab right now is that it is relatively restricted based upon certain clinical criteria, histology, brain mets, performance status, clotting and hemorrhagic parameters in hemoptysis, just to kind of summarize them quickly. At University of North Carolina, when I look at the eligibility criteria for ECOG 4599 and I apply them to the patients that I see in our program, it really excludes about 60 to 70% of the patients that we see. So even though I think this is a step forward, it's a step forward for a relative minority of the patients, at least that we see in our clinic in Chapel Hill. Now, having said that, for that small minority, I think that the efficacy benefits that were seen in 4599 are impressive. It comes at the risk of toxicity, not so much the hypertension, because that can be managed. It's really the catastrophic bleeding events that occur very infrequently, but if you've had one or two of them, you really become very respectful of the potential toxicity of this class of drugs. We've worked a lot with Sutent, which is a VEGF tyrosine kinase inhibitor, and we have had also some hemorrhagic complications with that agent. So I think that this issue of pulmonary hemorrhage and other hemorrhages is really more of a class effect than it is specific to the antibodies that do this.